Thank you for downloading our podcast. And this is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. You realize over 2,500 verses in the Bible that deal specifically with money and possessions. And in our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, we use these biblical principles to show you how to remove the debt in your life. We'll show you the importance of saving and investing, giving, how to deal financially with a crisis, and how to have a better relationship with God. You can learn more at CompassCatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. So, Beans, we've heard about Black Friday, but I think it's time of the year that we should call this Debt Day, because, as we all know, the Christmas credit card bills are arriving, and you will see just how much you truly spent for Christmas.
The problem is that most people didn't bother to budget for their Christmas spending.
So when they get all these bills, it could be the worst time of the financial year for them.
It could be, definitely. You know, they didn't budget, but they went out and they spent a whole bunch of money anyway. And now they've got to figure out how they're going to pay for all those presents and decorations, the travel and the food and the Christmas parties. It's a bad month.
It always seems like it's going well when you're spending money, but it always seems like it's going very poorly when you get the bills on all the money you spent if you didn't plan for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I was looking at different websites just to kind of gauge the average cost of Christmas, and a lot of them vary between $400 and $1,300, but the average cost per family for Christmas is $700.
You know, $700 is a lot of money in a chunk. But if you were to start in January saving $700, it's not really that difficult.
You mean just break it up into 12 months and save a little bit?
Break it up into 12 months and, you know, put down, well, I don't know what that works out to be, $75 or something like that. And actually, it's not even $75, closer to $60 probably. And you're going to have the money saved for Christmas, and then you have no bills.
So when I was looking at these websites and looking at the average cost of Christmas, most of the money spent on gifts. And after that, the next largest expense is travel, which kind of surprised me because I would think most people stay home for Christmas. But statistics show that the average family will be paying for Christmas 2018 all the way until about October 2019.
And that's when it's time to start buying again.
It just is a deadly cycle, isn't it? So if you're in a debt boat now that the Christmas bills are rolling in, and you ignored the fact that Christmas was coming, and you didn't create any special savings, but you still spent money that you didn't have.
Now it's time to pay the piper. Now, the best thing that you could do was to put all of your credit cards in your drawer and not use them again until all your Christmas debt is paid off.
Or you can put the cards in the freezer, in a plastic bag, in a bowl filled with water, and freeze the whole thing. And that will make those cards much harder to access, and you won't be tempted to go out and spend money that you don't have. Well, you know, and the other thing that occurred to me is that this is kind of like an accordion because you have so much money and you're trying to stretch it out over the year to pay for Christmas, but you're going to get squished sometime when you're trying to pay off last Christmas before you can save for next Christmas. So you're in this accordion type thing. You understand accordions, right, Steve?
Perfectly.
Steve is our polka man.
Was that sarcastic?
But doesn't it remind you of an accordion? Because there's only so many ways you can squeeze the money in.
Exactly. And it's like you say, if you're paying last Christmas until October, like 2 months before Christmas,
that means you have to save $350 a month to pay for the next Christmas.
Unless you just want to buy, go to the dollar store and knock yourself out.
You know, I was reading an article about families that have decided not to spend anything on Christmas. And it's things like the family will take a trip and everybody in the family pays for a different activity on the trip. And everybody pays for their own travel and their own room and board. But it's all about not falling into the trap of gift giving just because you're supposed to give gifts at this time of year, which I think we all get caught up in. It's easy to fall into that trap.
It is. And, you know, in fact, this year I went Christmas shopping the week before Christmas. And as I walked around, I noticed, you know, baskets, shopping carts, and was thinking to myself, I wonder in 5 months if they'll still be using that.
And the answer is probably not.
Yeah. Especially the toys.
Yes.
You got to start cutting back. And you got to get these bills paid off. So you got to scrimp and cut back in every single category. And this is kind of like setting up a mini snowball. You know, we're setting up a mini snowball here, and we're going to focus on the Christmas debt by itself. The thing is, if you're saving money for something special, put that on hold. No vacation savings. No Valentine's savings, no eating out, and the only response that you've got to spending money is no.
All this extra saved money needs to go toward paying off the Christmas bills, right?
Every extra penny should go to pay off the Christmas bills. What you do is sit down, and I know you kept all your receipts, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So you go to your receipts. Now, if you didn't keep your receipts, go to your credit card bills and look at them and mark off every single one that was a Christmas present purchase or a Christmas expense.
Christmas-related expense.
Yeah, Christmas-related expense, and add it up and find out how much that you spent. I mean, this is important information, and you're going to be able to use it next year.
And that's you do that for each card. Not just the card with the biggest balance.
No. How much did you spend? Period.
And so that includes the cash you took out and might have spent.
That encompasses everything. It's like, what did I say? How much did you spend? Add it up. Write it down so you don't forget about it. And then you're going to start paying these bills off and focusing on getting that much, that $700 or however much that you spent, getting that paid off. So what you're going to do is you're going to take every card and just pay the minimum payment plus extra money to pay the Christmas debt off. Okay.
Now, this is a psychological thing, because when you make the payment, it actually doesn't go toward the Christmas debt. It just goes to the balance on the card in general.
That's right. You can't direct to which expenses or purchases you want to pay off.
But it's a mind game so that you can get Christmas expenses paid.
Exactly.
And John, I think that's an important point. Can you repeat that again? So again, I've got this debt. I want to get out of debt from the credit card.
So you're going to take all your credit card bills and make the minimum payment, whatever it says on your bill, $24.93, whatever it is. And then you're going to take all your extra money, the money that you scrimped out of all your different categories.
Because you've been cutting.
You've been cutting, and the stuff that you've got going to savings, got to stop that, and let's get this stuff paid off. So you're going to apply all the extra cash on top of the payment, the minimum payment for each card, and get it paid off. You're going to do this until you wipe out whatever the amount was that you've spent, until you've spent that much, not in minimum payments, but in extra payments.
So you've gotten your Christmas debt paid off. You know, it occurs to me that this is a good way to get people trained to pay off the rest of that debt that's not Christmas debt. Once they get into the habit of adding that extra money in and making more than the minimum payment and getting rid of a certain piece of debt, then psychologically they can focus on getting out of debt completely, which would be a great blessing.
Well, I'd like to think that this is a mini exercise, but I think for a lot of people out there, this is a maxi exercise.
Well, it's kind of scary when I heard you say, eliminate the vacation, stop eating out, don't go to the movies. And I'm thinking, oh, my word. I mean, it is scary. But if you're serious, the end result is phenomenal.
Well, it is serious business. Mm-hmm. It is. It's important. And think about how much money you're wasting paying interest charges.
See, I don't think people actually realize it. They know they're doing it. They know the interest is high. But I don't think they really have stopped and looked at what the total is they're actually paying for whatever they bought.
I'll guarantee you people don't do that because they're always surprised when we coach somebody and we ask them to do something like that. They're amazed at how much money just getting thrown out the window paying interest.
And it would be better in your pocket than the credit card companies.
But you have to get, it's like the accordion thing again. Yeah, you have to get over that hump to where you have to scrimp and save and pay that big debt off so you can move forward.
Well, you know, the other piece to this puzzle is if they're way overextended on their credit cards, they're probably overextended in their checking account. Mm-hmm. So not only are they paying interest on their credit cards, but they're paying fees, bank fees, because they're overdrafted or they've taken too much money out of the ATM. You know, all these kinds of things that just add fees on top of fees on top of fees. And they probably got a card or two maxed out that they're still trying to use. And that gets them more fees too. So, you know, it's you got to get serious about it.
I was in front of in back of a lady at the hobby store the other day, and she had a charge for $12. And she was so worried that it wasn't going to go through. And, you know, when you're that close to the edge, now, granted, there may have been circumstances that I can't possibly understand, but I think most people operate pretty close to the edge.
Yeah.
And that's not a fun place to be. And those bank fees, I mean, how many people have we seen that had hundreds, thousands of dollars in bank fees for overdraft charges?
You know, they start at $35, and you get one every single time.
Yep.
So.
And the banks arrange the payments so that you get the big payment first, so the little ones all bounce and you get fees on those.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. John and Evelyn, the co-founders of Compass Catholic, join me today, and we're sharing our experience of paying for Christmas in advance of Christmas. As John and Evelyn repeat over and over and over, we all know that Christmas happens every year at the same time, so it's important that we start saving for Christmas shopping today. It's January, so you've got all these months ahead of you to start saving. Save a little bit each and every month, so come shopping season, you don't have to dip into your pocket and pull out a credit card. John and Evelyn, as I was listening to you both over these past 15 minutes, I started to think in my head, are we making Christmas debt to be way more important than we should?
Well, let me ask you a question or two, John. When do people know that Christmas happens every year on December 25th?
Does it really? See, I didn't know that.
We don't get the calendar that early. So, I can't answer that.
But consciously, we've all known Christmas comes on December 25th since we were maybe about three.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when you were first old enough to understand the concept of time. And let me ask you another question. When did you realize that you would want to buy presents at Christmas time for special people in your life?
The day before. I mean, that's just me. That's when I really get into the Christmas spirit, is that Christmas Eve shopping.
But you know Christmas comes every year. You know Christmas shopping and Christmas spending and the extra food and the travel and all that kind of stuff is part of it. So what in your world would cause you to think that you didn't have to plan ahead to pay for Christmas? I mean, it's out there, people. It's every year. It happens. Let's get ready for it.
And, you know, and a little thing that I do starting in January every year, every time I use cash, and if I get a $5 bill and change, I put it away for the birthday and Christmas, for Audrey's birthday and Christmas.
Really?
So I'm covered.
Does she know that you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we started doing that again for vacations.
So she makes sure you have lots of big bills in your wallet, so you always get lots of $5 bills, right?
That's why she said, aren't you going to pay cash?
No, don't use the credit card, then you won't get a $5 bill.
But that's how I save for Christmas and her birthday.
You know, that's a good idea. And it's specific to you, and it's something that's good for you. So everybody needs to have that idea on what works for them.
So there's a great verse from Luke in chapter 14, and it goes like this. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there's enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, this one began to build, but didn't have the resources to finish. Not planning for Christmas is pretty much the same thing as not calculating the cost, the total cost of what it's going to cost you to build something.
So if you went into the Christmas spending spree with no idea of how to pay for it, it's very much like building something without understanding what the cost is.
Absolutely.
So how are you going to make this be the last Christmas that you get into debt for Christmas? Like we said, pay off Christmas debt 2018 as fast as you can. And then, John, I think you have some tips to help people plan ahead for Christmas 2019, right?
First thing is, after you get the bills paid, your Christmas bills paid for 2018, divide the months remaining into what you spent. So if you get all your Christmas bills paid by June, okay, and you spent $600 on Christmas this year, then you need to divide $600 by how many months left? Six months.
Easy math there, guy.
Yeah, I try to make it as easy as possible. You know, I don't want to have to take my shoes off. But 6 months, $600, you got to save $100 a month beginning in July. It's not complicated stuff.
Now, I can hear people saying, as they're listening to this, but I can't afford to save $100 a month. Then my question is, how can you afford to pay the bills after the fact if you can't afford to save before the fact?
They can't.
Right? Well, you're going to have to pay it sooner or later, because if you pay it after the fact, you're paying the $100.
Plus interest.
Plus interest.
And the piper's coming. So, it's not hard. It's not hard. You just have to plan. And besides planning, there's one other little aspect. I don't even know if we should mention it or not. It's called discipline. You have to be disciplined enough to follow the plan once you figure it out.
So what happens if I'm really into what you're telling me and I pay off all my Christmas debt from 2018 and I try to save $600 before Christmas 2019, but I can only save $500? What do I do?
Guess what? That's all you can spend. Buy every present with cash. And when you run out of cash, $500, stop. It's that simple.
But remember, it's all Christmas spending. So it's decorations, food, gifts, travel. It's the total Christmas spending, not just gifts.
So that takes planning.
Yes.
You can't just run out to the mall and go crazy because I have $500 in my pocket. So you have to plan.
It's like I need $200 to drive to mom's house that's a couple states away. So that $200 gets put aside to cover all the travel costs. And you have $300 to spend on the rest of everything.
So you're at the store and you see that 8-foot blow-up Santa. Oh, I've got to have it for the yard.
Yeah, that doesn't
happen.
You can't
be doing it. Yeah, unless that's in your plan.
You know, I've always thought those were very sad decorations, though. They just look awful most of the time because they're not blown up until nighttime.
Yeah, I know. You go by yards.
Yeah, and they're just like, it's like a bunch of trash bags sitting around.
I want to go.
They just look so sad. Look like little pockets of plastic.
So what are we saying here? You can only spend what you save. And if you didn't save, or if you didn't save enough, it's time to bite the bullet. Only spend cash in 2019. Or only charge what you've already saved up so you can get rid of it on December the 31st. And then for the next year, you can start saving in January and you'll have more.
So your accordion's open in 2020, right?
Exactly, exactly. Or you can use some of that money to help pay off the rest of the credit card debt that you've got.
So, John, you have, I think, a verse for us about saving from Proverbs.
Proverbs 6:6 through 8. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Study her ways and learn wisdom. For she has no chief, no commander, no ruler. She procures her food in the summer, stores up her provisions in the harvest. So what is that telling us? It's plan ahead. Save. save, and then save some more.
But haven't you noticed that a lot of the animals do store? I mean, it's like the chipmunks. They're all around in the summertime storing up all the acorns for the winter. And, you know, it's amazing to me that we with brains don't have enough brains to save a head, but the animals know enough out of their instinct to save a head.
So there's a TV show, You're Not Smarter Than a Fifth Grader.
No, it's Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Oh, okay. Most of them aren't, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
So the question today is, are you smarter than an ant? Can you save for next year?
And we need to remind everybody that Christmas is coming again on December 25th in 2019, right?
You're kidding.
So are you going to be ready to celebrate Christmas in 2019 without going into debt?
Well, I know I can, okay? Steve, can you?
Yes.
Evelyn, can you?
Oh, I can, definitely.
Everything that we've talked about is focused on your attitude. You know, you may think that you deserve to spend a lot of money on Christmas. Or you may think that you need to buy everyone you know a nice present. But the answer to that is no, no, no. You need to live with a measure of restraint, a measure of self-control, discipline. We need to realize that we can only do what we can do. And we can only control what we control.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons people come to us is because they get so out of control with their money. They just, it flows out of their hands like water. And we have so many people coming to us that are just upside down on cars and they're in over their heads on debt and they've wasted money. And it's so sad to see a marriage get ruined because of money.
Yeah, I think it's what John mentioned, the word disciplined. And if you become disciplined or content, because we use that word quite a bit, it gets easier as time goes on. And again, you have to start somewhere. So starting now, January 2019, planning for Christmas 2019, if you're disciplined enough in putting X amount of money, $50 away, $75 away every month, you'll see how easy it becomes. And what's great, you only use cash, no credit cards.
And that is such a blessing.
Especially in January or February when the credit card bill comes and the balance is like
zero?
Hopefully zero.
Yeah.
And it's a great feeling. You may not realize it now, but it is a great feeling.
There's a great verse from Sirach, chapter 18, verse 30. It says, "Do not follow your base desires, but restrain your appetites." So I know that we can all do this if we just put our minds to it. Let's really work hard and make 2018 the last year that you ever go into debt for Christmas.
That would be a wonderful Christmas present. And yes, it will be hard at first getting disciplined to avoid going overboard on your Christmas spending habit, but it can be done. And it truly is a wonderful feeling having absolutely no credit card debt from Christmas spending. And before we leave you today, let's get to a couple of emails we received this week. John and Evelyn, I am receiving harassing phone calls for a debt I don't owe and never have. I have no idea what they're talking about, but they don't stop calling. What can I do?
Boy, isn't that annoying? I think we've probably all have received a phone call like that. You know, you owe such and such and such. Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. Under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, a bill collector may contact you by phone or in person or by mail only during the hours of 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. And now here's what they can say and what they can't say. So within 5 days after you're first contacted, the collector must send written notice telling you who's trying to collect, how much is owed, and what action you can take if you believe that you don't owe the money. They're prohibited from harassing you.
And they may not repeatedly call your home or your workplace. They can't lie or threaten you. And they can't misrepresent who they are or intimidate you by saying they're going to garnish your wages or seize your property. So if a debt collector is violating any of this, contact the FTC at ftc.gov or contact your state attorney general or the Better Business Bureau to report them.
And here's one more for you, John and Evelyn. My son is 31 years old and has never had a credit card or a car loan. He is now in need of a car loan, but cannot get one because he has no credit. What can he do to build his credit that will ensure him to get a car loan or a mortgage down the line?
It's interesting that a 31-year-old doesn't have any credit established, but it's good that he's not asking and you're not offering to co-sign for the loan, because that is a no-no in our world.
Yeah, one way that he could establish some credit is to obtain a secured credit card. And what that means is that he would put $500 or $1,000 in the bank and then use the credit card against that money that he deposited towards the credit card. That's one way he can establish credit. He can't ever go beyond what he's got money in the bank. It's just like having a checking account. You can't write checks for what you don't have because they're not going to get cashed.
And if he's serious about buying a car, he should start saving the money now that he would be paying on a car payment, so he has a larger down payment when it comes time to actually purchase the car.
I think that's a great idea.
John and Evelyn, thank you so much. Now, if you have a question for John and Evelyn about financial matter, by all means, email those questions to askask@compasscatholic.org. That's askask@compasscatholic.org. And should we use your question on the air, we'll be happy to send you a copy of their book, Your Money Counts. And that'll do it for us. Remember, we post a brand new podcast bright and early each and every Wednesday. Simply go to compasscatholic.org and the name of the podcast, Manage Your Money God's Way.